he said, touching my lips again. I'm almost sorry I gagged you, so I can see that pretty smile. His grin sharpened. Almost. You're very sweet when you can't do more than moan and whimper. My brow furrowed. I should be mad. The most I could summon up was frustration, and even that wasn't as strong as it should be. I didn't understand this weird detachment from my thoughts and emotions, but I couldn't muster up enough concern to fully examine it. He tapped my nose with his forefinger in light reprimand. Stay just like you are, he ordered. Focus on me. What else could I do? I was completely under his power, bound and gagged. Only, where the same sensations had brought me misery while he whipped me, now they felt pleasurable. There was no pain this time, just the soft, sure touches of his masterful hands and the slightly rough caress of the rope. My core ached, and slickness coated my inner thighs. My breasts were growing heavier, my nipples tingling with awareness. The metal ring came to a stop, dangling a few feet above my head. Andres picked out another coil of rope and began looping it through the harnesses he'd created around my chest and hips, focusing on the right side of my body. He then fed the ends through the ring and pulled. He braced one arm beneath me as my body tilted and lifted. A strangled cry left me as the ropes shifted and pressed into me. Andres had arranged them, so they held my weight evenly, cocooning my body as he pulled me higher. When I was fully horizontal, he tied off the rope to secure me in place. He wrapped one final length around my left ankle, causing my knee to bend. Gravity kept that leg dangling beneath me, while the restrictive tie around my right leg kept it lifted. My thighs were spread wide, and cool air teased along my exposed, swollen sacs. I drew in shallow breaths as my entire body pulsed with awareness, my world narrowing to focus on the man who'd so thoroughly bound me. His soft smile was at odds with his hungry eyes. I stared into them, fascinated by the black striations that darkened the chocolate brown of his irises. His hand cupped my cheek, supporting the weight of my head. I realized it was taking effort to hold it upright in this position. My hair dangled toward the floor, weighing me down. I'm going to take care of a few things now, he murmured. You look very pretty, Sirenita. I think I'll keep you like this more often. He finally withdrew his touch and sat at the desk. I was positioned at his side, so I could watch him in profile. My heart gave a little twinge when he opened the laptop, and a high whine slipped past the gag as longing tugged at me. I couldn't formulate concrete ideas about escape, but I knew I wanted to get to that computer. Hush now, he commanded, not looking in my direction. The sooner I finish, the sooner I can play with your wet little pussy. Lust surged through me, redirecting my longing to other, darker things. I did want him to touch me. My sex pulsed and fluttered, desperate for him to stroke me. I whined again, but he ignored me. His long, elegant fingers began flying over the keyboard. The light, rapid tapping sounds were comforting, familiar. The room started to go hazy, and my body melted into the ropes that held me aloft. I was floating, euphoria settling over me. The world started fading around the edges. I vaguely realized that my head was lolling forward, my eyes drooping closed. But it was so hard to hold upright, so hard to keep my eyes open. After a while, I surrendered to the velvety darkness, sinking into it. I sighed, relishing the comfort of the pitter-patter of his fingers on the keyboard. It was one of my favorite sounds in the world, and it filled my consciousness, lulling me into a quiet, peaceful headspace. Is my pet sleepy? His low, accented voice rolled over me. Or horny? I could feel the heat of his words on my exposed neck as he leaned in. A pitiful, needy keening reached my ears, but I didn't register that I was the one making the sound.
I have a few questions for you, kinky virgin, he said, his warm breath teasing across my sensitized skin. If you're honest with me, I'll let you come.
The tension of the gag eased, and the rubber ball slipped from my mouth. I swallowed several times, my tongue feeling thick and unwieldy.
I'm the first man to touch you. Is that true?
He asked. Yes, I answered softly, still cocooned in warm darkness. I could feel his heat pulsing against my body, and I ached for him to touch me. If I answered his questions, he'd grant me the release I so desperately needed.
But you know about BDSM. You've been to a club. You knew what the flogger was when I used it on you, even though no one has disciplined you before. Correct?
Yes, I confirmed again.
I want you to tell me how you know these things.
Porn, I responded. I watched Dex's porn.
And who is Dex? You've mentioned him a few times.
He's my... I fumbled to find the right words. My best friend.
Why did you watch your friend's porn?
I wanted to know what he liked, so I hacked into his browser history.
Why would you care what kind of porn your friend watches?
I love him. I slurred, the words leaving me without thought. Hard fingers gripped my jaw, lifting my face almost violently.
Look at me,
he snarled. My eyes snapped open, instantly focusing on his burning black glare. Fear stirred in the back of my mind, and I tried to scramble away. The ropes around my body twisted and tugged, and a fresh hit of bliss washed through my system. I moaned softly, and my eyelashes fluttered closed. His fingers tightened on my face.
No,
he said, the command low and rough.
Look at me.
I focused on him again, my entire world centered on his dark gaze.
You're mine, he growled. From now on, you don't think about other men. You exist to please me.
He reached between my legs and grabbed my sex, thrusting two fingers into my wet channel and cupping his palm over my clit, in a possessive hold. I cried out at the sudden rough intrusion, but his fingertips curled against the sensitive spot at the front of my inner walls, and his palm ground against my clit.
You're mine,
he said, the words almost savage.
Your body, your mind, all of you. Your pain, your pleasure, they belong to me.
He twisted my nipple, and I cried out, even as my core contracted around his fingers.
Come for me, he demanded. Come for your master.
He continued to pinch and pull at my nipples as he pumped his fingers in and out of my pussy and rotated his palm against my clit. Pain and pleasure entwined, tormenting me with the cruelest bliss. Tears spilled down my cheeks, and I screamed as my orgasm claimed me. My scream was abruptly muffled when he crushed his lips against mine in a brutal kiss. His teeth sank into my lower lip, and his fierce growl vibrated into my mouth as his tongue surged inside. I whimpered and opened for him, completely overwhelmed and stripped down to my most basic animal self. Rational thought was long gone. All I could do was feel the pain of his fingers torturing my breasts, the pleasure of his hand wringing ecstasy from my pussy, the mind-blowing intensity of his mouth subjugating mine. The kiss was raw, primal, an act of force and dominance. I couldn't do anything but submit to the sensations he inflicted upon me, submit to his power over me. My orgasm went on and on, ecstasy lashing through me. My body jerked and writhed, making the ropes shift around me. It only increased my pleasure, heightened my sense of helplessness. He continued pumping his fingers in and out of my pussy, even as my orgasm began to subside. I became overly sensitive, his touch too much to bear. I whined into his mouth, and he finally showed mercy. He withdrew his hands from my sex and my breasts, but his lips lingered on mine, the kiss slowing to a deep, thorough claiming of my mouth. When he finally released me, I gasped for air, my head dropping toward the floor. I didn't have any strength left in my body. The world was surreal, and I was still floating, blissed out and buzzing. I watched with detached interest as he retrieved a pair of shears from the desk. He braced my body with one strong arm while he used the shears to cut away the ropes that bound me. I sagged against him, boneless. He dropped to his knees and cradled me in his arms, holding me close. I closed my eyes and snuggled into him as he stroked me and murmured in Spanish. I couldn't understand the words, but the lilting cadence and low rumble of his voice were comforting. Without realizing what I was doing, I pressed my lips against my captor's neck, tasting the salt of my own tears on his skin. Chapter 12. The next morning I awoke to the feel of leather being wrapped around my throat. I sighed and opened my eyes as Andres locked the collar in place. "Do you have to do that?" I complained. He chuckled.
"The fact that you still take that tone with me means yes, I definitely have to."
He took my hand and pulled me upright.
"Go brush your teeth and come back here."
"And then you won't chain me to the bed?" I asked with asperity.
"With that attitude, of course I will."
He laughed. He seemed to be in a very good mood this morning. After he'd cut me down from suspension last night, he bathed me and fed me before putting me to bed. I'd been too strung out to think about complaining or resisting, but now my spirit was back in full force after a night of the deepest sleep I'd ever had. I grumbled under my breath about being kept like an animal, but I went into the bathroom to take care of my daily needs. As I splashed warm water on my face, my mind began piecing together my hazy memories of the night before. He kissed me. My captor had actually kissed me. That was a surprise. He'd touched my most intimate areas with propriety, but a kiss was unexpected. It certainly hadn't been tender and loving, but it hadn't been sloppy and awkward like my few other experiences with men.
"From now on, you don't think about other men. You exist to please me."
I gasped and braced my hands on the sink. I told Andres about my feelings for Dex. That put him at risk. I'd made him a target for the Moreno brothers. They would go after him to make me cooperate. I couldn't let them hurt him. I stormed back into the bedroom, going straight for Andres. His brows rose in surprise, but my unexpected ire didn't slow his reaction time when I launched myself at him. He dodged to one side, catching my fist where it had flown past his face. His other hand caught me in the center of my chest, knocking the air from my lungs as he shoved me away. I fell, my back hitting the mattress. His weight settled over me as he straddled my hips and pinned my arms above my head with one hand. My legs kicked out uselessly as he locked the chain to the front of my collar, tethering me to the bed again. He gripped my jaw, stilling my wild thrashing.
"What's this about?"
he demanded. "You leave Dex alone!" I shouted at him, jerking desperately against his hold. "I'll kill you if you do anything to him. I swear I'll kill you!" His fingers tightened around my face to the point of pain, and he snarled down at me.
"I have no interest in this man, and from now on neither do you."
"But you said Christian would kill him if he found out," I said, panic seizing my senses. Oh God, I'd betrayed Dex for an orgasm. How could I do that?
"I am not my brother," he growled,
the words so garbled I could barely discern them.
"I won't torture you or threaten the people you care about to get what I want out of you."
He leaned in close, so I could feel the heat of his anger slapping against me.
"I don't need to torture you to get what I want."
"And what do you call tying me down and whipping me until I scream? Is that not torture?"
If you knew what torture really was, you wouldn't have to ask, he said roughly.
And how would you know? I challenged. It's not like you'd ever let anyone whip you until you cried.
You think I don't cry when I'm hurt? You think I don't bleed when I'm cut? You think I don't scream, just like any other man in pain? I might not be sane, but I'm still human, Samantha. Don't talk about things you don't understand.
I stared up at him wide-eyed. Is that how your face... I trailed off when he bared his teeth at me in feral rage, his scar twisting into something terrifying.
Don't talk about things you don't understand, he repeated, enunciating every word. And don't say your friend's name ever again. I don't want you to even think about him. I'm the only man you should be concerned with, the only one you should think about. Your purpose is to serve me, to please me, no one else.
Please, I forced out, my eyes watering. You're hurting me.
His fingers were digging into my face, hard enough that I thought I might bruise.
He instantly released me and rolled off me with a curse. He didn't look at me as he stiffly crossed the bedroom to his wardrobe and started getting dressed.
Andres? I asked timidly.
He didn't respond. I decided I believed him when he said he wouldn't go after Dex. He seemed furious that I'd even think he'd hurt someone I loved in order to hurt me.
I will never cause you harm, not your body and not your heart.
I remembered the promise he'd made me. Maybe he did hurt me when he flogged me, and maybe he did enjoy my pain. But he never lied about what kind of monster he was. Guilt nipped at me. Someone had hurt him. That should have been obvious from the very beginning, given his scars. But I'd been so focused on how scary they were that I hadn't stopped to think about the pain he must have endured when he got them. Not to mention the reminder of it when people cringed away from looking at his ruined face. I hadn't been able to bear looking at him when I'd first seen him. What must it be like to have people flinch at the sight of you?
I'm sorry, I said quietly.
He stiffened further, and he stopped in his tracks. After a few tense seconds, he spoke, but he still didn't turn to look at me.
I got something for you, he said. It's on the tray, next to your breakfast.
I glanced at the food cart that must have arrived while I was sleeping. A large, gift-wrapped box sat beside the covered tray.
What? I'll see you tonight.
He cut me off and strode out of the room. Curiosity spiking, I went straight for the gift, rather than the bacon. I tore off the iridescent white paper and pretty blue bow to find a plain cardboard box. When I opened it, my jaw dropped.
Wow,
I whispered, running reverent fingers over the laminated first edition X-Men number 101 comic book. The first one featuring the Dark Phoenix. It must have cost a fortune. Not to mention acquiring it so quickly. I confessed my geeky cosplay kissing session to Andres like 2 days ago. And only yesterday I'd appealed to him about my boredom. How had he managed to get this for me? He managed with all his drug money, I reasoned. But that didn't stop me from picking up the comic. Another first edition of the following book lay beneath it. And another beneath that. I carefully, lovingly, removed each one and laid them out on the bed beside me so I could stare at them in awe. In all, there were 20 collectible comic books that told the entire Dark Phoenix story arc. It was any nerd's wet dream, including mine. Okay, maybe I wasn't actually wet from looking at them, but the knowledge that Andres had been paying such close attention to the little things I'd told him touched me, somewhere deep inside. He might be a sadistic psycho, but he could be thoughtful, kind. God, I'm going to turn into Lauren, I rebuked myself. Still, there was no denying that giving me the comics was a small act of mercy. Apparently, Andres didn't want me to go completely insane from being left alone with nothing but my own racing thoughts. Even though I was almost hesitant to touch them, I was desperate enough for reading material that I eventually opened them. I knew the stories already, but being able to handle these precious editions in person, rather than reading reproductions of them on my computer screen, was an entirely new experience. I barely paused to talk to Lauren when she brought me lunch, and she didn't seem keen on talking anyway. And after hearing her disturbing take on Andres, how nice she thought he was, I didn't really want to discuss it with her anymore. Despite taking my time with them, I'd been finished with the final book for quite a while before Andres returned for the evening. I'd actually started rereading number 101 and was almost done for the second time when he came into the bedroom. I beamed at him, high on nerd endorphins. "Thanks," I said, genuinely grateful. He blinked at me, momentarily stunned. Then he grinned.
"You are even more beautiful when you smile than I imagined."
My smile faded at the reminder of our real relationship dynamic. He wasn't some nice boyfriend who'd bought me a cool gift. He was my captor. "You're manipulating me again," I accused.
"So you don't want the comic books?"
"No," I said quickly, clutching number 101 to my chest. "I mean, I want them. I actually already read all of them, but I'll read them again," I babbled on, not wanting him to take them away if I sounded ungrateful. His brows rose.
"You read all of them today?"
"I tried to go slow, but they're so good," I said. "And I process things really fast. I usually do more than one thing at a time to stay occupied, but this was good," I hurried on. "Way better than staring at the ceiling."
"I'll have to get you more then," he said, smiling again.
"You don't have to get first editions," I replied. "I like newer stuff too. Graphic novels are awesome. Works by Frank Miller and Alan Moore are great."
"I'll get those for you then," he said. "And more first editions."
"But I just said you don't have to. I've read most of them online anyway."
"But they made you smile. So you're getting more. Don't argue with me, Samantha," he said sternly before I could protest further. "I'll put in an order tonight, and they'll be here in the morning."
"How did you get them so fast?" I asked. "These had to be really hard to find."
"There was a store in New York that had them in stock. I sent someone to go get them."
"But I just told you I was bored last night."
He shrugged. "It's not a long flight."
I gaped at him. "You flew someone from Chicago to New York and back again overnight to get me some comic books?"
"Yes, and they made you smile. So the 15 minutes it took me to set it all up was more than worth it."
The full power of what his dirty money could get him came down on me like a hammer, deflating the last of my joy.
"What's wrong?"
He sounded a little strained. "I don't want anything you bought with your bliss money," I said quietly. His jaw firmed.
"You'll get the books anyway."
"I won't read them."
"That's your choice. You'll still have them."
I glared at him. "You're trying to manipulate me again. You know I'll go out of my mind and end up reading them if they're in here." A small smile tugged at the corners of his lips.
"If you already know this, then why bother fighting me on it?"
"Because you're a smug bastard, that's why." He shook his head at me, but his smile didn't waver.
"I'm going to find a better use for that dirty mouth."
He crossed to the bed and unlocked the chain from the bedpost. He kept the length of it attached to my collar.
"Come,"
he commanded, coiling the chain around his fist and tugging gently. The pressure on my neck forced me to scramble to my feet. "Where are we going?" I asked, having no choice but to follow him as he walked out of the bedroom.
"What was it you so charmingly called it?"
he mused.
"Oh, yes."
He shot a wicked smirk at me.
"My torture room."
I tried to stop in my tracks, but he kept walking. The chain pulled taut, and I stumbled forward. I fisted the metal links in both hands and yanked. His arm barely tugged back toward me, but he stopped and turned to face me. My chest rose and fell rapidly, my breaths coming too fast as my heart raced. I don't want to go in there, I said, my voice higher than usual. I won't cuss at you again, I won't. He shook his head, but the tilt of his lips was almost indulgent.
You will. You can't seem to help yourself.
I'll try really hard, I promised. Just don't take me in there, please. He took a step toward me. I flinched back. He frowned and pulled on the chain, forcing my body to tumble against his. I clutched at his shoulders for balance, but his hands had already closed around my waist to prevent me from falling.
This is part of your training, he said calmly. It will feel good. Not everything in that room is meant to cause you pain.
It scares me, I admitted on a shaky whisper, remembering my helplessness when he'd flogged me. Shock obliterated my growing fear when he leaned in and softly pressed his lips against mine. I tried to jerk away from him, but his hand curved around the back of my head, holding me in place while he continued the kiss. It was gentle, coaxing. My lips began to shape to his, and he increased the pressure of his mouth on mine, turning more demanding. My body softened against him, even as my fingernails curved into his shoulders, clinging on tight. He growled and nipped at my lower lip. I opened for him on a gasp, and his tongue invaded my mouth, sweeping in to claim me hard and deep. This kiss was different than our first. That one had been punishing, branding. This one wasn't tender, but it was more careful, a slow, thorough seduction. He didn't stop until I was desperate to draw breath, and when he finally pulled away, I gasped for air, my knees going weak as oxygen hit my system. He held me tightly against him, supporting my sagging weight with one strong arm around my lower back. His erection pressed into my hip, straining against his slacks. He still wore his suit, and I was still naked. The power dynamic should have been disconcerting, but my head was spinning from his scorching kiss.
Are you still scared?
He asked, running his fingers through my hair. I leaned into his touch without thought. No, I said, my voice strangely husky.
I promise this isn't going to hurt, he swore. Only pleasure today.
But I cussed at you. I didn't understand. I called you a bastard.
I heard you the first time, he said dryly. We're going to train your mouth. From now on, every time you curse at me, you're going to make it up to me by using your tongue another way.
I trembled against him, knowing exactly what he meant. I haven't ever... He continued to stroke my hair.
I know you haven't, he said, his tone low and soothing. I'm going to teach you, and I'll make it feel good for you, so you associate my cock in your mouth with pleasure.
You're trying to condition me again. My accusation came out more shakily than I'd intended. I don't like it when you do that.
You'll like this.
His arm slipped from my lower back, his hand skimming over my bottom before dipping between my legs. He cupped my sex, his fingers playing through my soft folds. Pleasure began to pulse at my core. I couldn't help but respond to his touch.
Did you know your body is capable of having multiple orgasms?
He asked as he played with me.
I wonder how many you'll have before you can't take any more.
Please. I wanted him to stop before I couldn't stop myself. Heat coiled in my belly, and my lower lips grew slick with my arousal.
Please make you come?
He asked, slightly mocking. He sensed my internal struggle, and it seemed to amuse him.
Not yet, Sirenita. You have to come into my playroom first.
It's a torture room, I countered breathily.
Is where I play with my fuck toy. That makes it my playroom.
I'm not your fuck toy.
It's not an insult, so there's no need to look so spiteful, he said, still amused. You're my toy, my plaything, my pet, and you love when I play with you and pet you. See,
You're creaming all over my hand. Just because my body feels one way about it doesn't mean I like it.
Don't lie, Cosita. You wouldn't have watched all that kinky porn if you didn't like it. If you didn't long for it.
I longed for... I cut myself off before I said Dex's name. I wouldn't risk that again. I don't want this with you.
Then why am I the only man who's ever touched you? You were so skittish at first. Do you really think you would have found pleasure with someone else? They wouldn't have understood how to handle you, not like I do. You need a firm hand.
I don't, I protested weakly. I really was getting embarrassingly wet as he spoke, responding to all the twisted, crass things he was saying about me. He brushed a kiss over my lips. My head tipped back in response.
No more lies, he murmured against my mouth. You don't have permission to speak. I'm not going to gag you, but know that there will be other consequences if you defy me. The next time you use your mouth, it will be to suck my cock. Once I come down your throat, you'll be allowed to talk again.
I gaped at him, and he traced the O of my lips with his fingertips.
Just like that, he said with satisfaction. I'm not going to force your mouth, but you will accept me before we leave the playroom.
I shook my head in denial, not daring to utter another word when I knew he was about to take me into the torture room, whether I wanted it or not. But no way was I going to take his cock in my mouth of my own volition. Just the idea was dirty.
Dirty.
Wrong.
Dirty little girl. Cosita, he said firmly, his fingers threading through my hair.
The light pull against my scalp grounded me.
Don't be afraid.
It was an order.
This is new for you, but I'll guide you through it. You're safe with me.
Safe. I felt myself nodding, even though that didn't make any sense. All I knew was the fear that had been creeping at the edges of my mind had subsided, and I was grateful for Andres's commanding touch. Inexplicably, I felt secure in his firm arms. When he finally released me and began to walk toward the playroom, I followed him without further protest. Chapter 13. A shudder rolled through me when Andres flipped on the crimson lights. My gaze went straight to the spanking bench, and I took a small step back toward the sitting room.
No, Cosita,
he said soothingly, wrapping his arm around my waist and guiding me forward. It might have been a sweet gesture, but the way his fingers curled around my hip communicated his control.
We're not using the bench today,
he promised, leading me past it.
Do you know what this is? You have my permission to speak.
I blinked and looked down where he pointed. I recognized the black device that curved up in a half sphere, the flat side resting on the floor. It was built to be straddled. If I went down on my knees, the curve would fit between my thighs as I lowered my weight onto it. A Sibian, I answered breathily, knowing exactly what it was.
Such a clever, kinky virgin,
he said with pleasure. But I can't... There's not a dildo attached. In all the porn I'd seen, women rode huge dildos as they bounced up and down on the vibrating machine.
My fingers and my cock will stretch your tight little pussy before I put anything else inside you.
His hand tightened possessively on my hip.
The vibrations will be strong enough that you'll feel it everywhere. Your clit, your pussy, your ass. I don't need to fill you with a fake cock to make you scream in pleasure.
That sounds intense, I said, fumbling over my words. It certainly didn't sound painful. Quite the opposite. But it also sounded like I'd come unraveled if the pleasure was as intense as he claimed. I'd confessed my deepest secrets to him in exchange for orgasms already. What would I do when subjected to this?
Suck his cock,
That was what he wanted from me. I glanced at the bulge of his erection, which stood out clearly against his slacks. The knowledge that he wanted me made something warm unfurl in my chest, a pure feminine satisfaction. The rational part of my mind noted his size, and I remembered how big he'd felt in my hand when I touched him in the shower for the first time. I won't be able to fit. It won't fit, I mumbled, my cheeks flaming. I couldn't say your cock won't fit in my mouth aloud. It was far too shameful.
We'll go slow, he promised. You can take me. You will learn.
He was talking about it like my surrender was already a foregone conclusion. And if I say no? I asked quietly.
Are you saying no?
I'm nervous. I mean, you're so big and I've never, I don't know. I was babbling, my sentences unfinished and incoherent. He leaned in and captured my lips with his, taking my mouth slow and deep until my mind quieted. The anxiety that had started churning in my stomach subsided, giving way to warmth that spread down between my legs.
You don't have to talk anymore, he murmured, pressing a sweet kiss against my cheek. It's okay to be nervous. I'll be right here to tell you what to do.
I nodded, almost grateful that he'd forestalled the words that had started spilling out of me. I didn't like it when my mouth ran away with me out of nervousness. It felt comforting, knowing I didn't have to say anything else, that I wasn't allowed to say anything else. His command for my silence freed me from my nervous tic, and it was kind of nice, liberating. His grip shifted to my upper arms, and he applied pressure to guide me down.
On your knees.
I sank down far more gracefully than I ever could have managed on my own. When he moved my body, I didn't have to worry about being awkward or ungangly.
So beautiful,
he praised when I fully lowered myself onto the Sibian, my wet pussy coming to rest against the hard, cool surface. He leaned down and moved my left ankle closer to the device. Supple leather closed around it, and he buckled the cuff closed to secure me in place. Why? The word teased at the tip of my tongue, but I swallowed it back. I wasn't supposed to talk. It was so much easier than questioning him anyway. He cuffed my right ankle on the other side. Testing my range of movement, I tried to push up on my knees, but I couldn't rise up off the Sibian with my legs bound beneath me. He wasn't done restraining me. He grasped my wrists and directed them above my head. Another set of cuffs dangled from a chain that hung from the ceiling. I didn't resist as he buckled them around my wrists. There was no point. I was already bound to the Sibian, and fighting would have only earned me a punishment. I didn't want another one of those, especially not with the reminder of the spanking bench looming in front of me. He's not going to hurt me, I told myself. He's not going to... Oh! I cried out as the machine began to vibrate beneath me. My fingers and toes curled as ecstasy rolled through my entire body in a shockwave. Andre smirked down at me and fully removed the small black remote control from his pocket.
You like your new toy, Gatita?
I moaned and nodded, not even thinking about forming a verbal response. He stroked my cheek, communicating his pleasure with me.
Greedy girl, I want you to keep count of how many orgasms you have. Can you do that for me?
I swallowed another moan and nodded again. The vibrations rumbled through me, just as he'd promised. I should have been ashamed at the pleasure I was finding in the stimulation, but all I could focus on was how good it felt. I started to roll my hips in wanton abandon. As I did, the vibrations concentrated on my clit, then my pussy, then my ass. I really should have felt ashamed of the particular pleasure I found in that, but I couldn't stop myself once I started.
You're going to be so beautiful when you're riding my cock like that, he said, his voice rough with need.
He traced the line of my lower lip with his thumb before pushing inside. I opened for him, and he rubbed his calloused fingertip over my tongue. The sensation of his rough skin against my sensitive nerve endings was wickedly decadent. I groaned and pressed my tongue against him, licking and exploring the slightly salty taste of his skin. He started to gently pump his thumb in and out, pushing a little further in each time, until he neared the back of my throat. I had to focus on breathing and suppressing my gag reflex. It felt so good, and I didn't want to ruin it.
"Good girl," he ground out, his own desire riding him hard.
My sense of feminine satisfaction intensified, and my eyes went to his erection. I started rocking faster on the Sibian, moving on instinct as I sought more pleasure. The chains that held my arms above my head clanked as I undulated my body. Even though I was bound, I felt powerful, beautiful, blissful. The need in Andres's voice and the evidence of his hard cock sent me flying high. He wanted me, and I wanted... With his free hand, he reached down and pinched my nipple, rolling and pulling it gently.
"Come for me," he commanded.
The little bite of pain sent me over the edge. Heat shot straight from my tormented nipple to my clit, and I ground against the Sibian, rotating my hips as I screamed around his thumb. He continued stroking my tongue as I came undone, and I started licking his finger like it was my favorite candy. I couldn't get enough of the sensation of his firm touch inside my mouth. It made me tingle everywhere, my mouth, my pussy, my ass. Dark ecstasy raced through me, and I shuddered in my chains as my orgasm claimed me. His thumb popped out of my mouth, and I whimpered at the loss.
"Don't forget to count for me," he said as he turned off the machine,
his crooked smile filling my chest with warmth. The expression tugged at his scar, but it didn't scare me anymore. He looked powerful, where he loomed above me in his sharply tailored suit, dark and definitely dangerous, but utterly masculine and confident. He wanted me, but he found pleasure in giving me pleasure. It was evident in the hungry way he watched me, the way his cock strained toward me. He chuckled and touched two fingers beneath my chin, redirecting my gaze to his face.
"You are supposed to count your orgasms,"
he reminded me. "What? Oh, one," I said faintly. He tilted his head at me.
"That's not nearly enough for my greedy gatita, is it? I want more, too."
For a moment, I thought he meant he wanted to come himself, but he turned the Sibian on again, obviously intent on giving me more pleasure. My gaze riveted back on his erection, and I couldn't help imagining what it would be like to feel his cock with my tongue instead of licking his thumb. My surrender was inevitable. Why fight it? Especially now that I knew how good it felt to have something filling my mouth. I'd never have imagined that it could feel so deliciously sensual.
"You want to see me?"
he asked huskily, noting the direction of my gaze. I nodded and started rolling my hips against the Sibian again, moving without thought. Pleasure was already building at my core, my entire body tingling as little sparks crackled through my system. A low, feral sound slipped through his teeth, and he quickly freed himself from his slacks. My eyes widened, and trepidation made my stomach clench. I already knew he was huge, but seeing him from this perspective was much more intimidating. I shrank back slightly, my sensual haze beginning to clear in the face of reality. His thumb had felt good in my mouth. This was something entirely different. He fisted the base in his hand, squeezing slightly.
"You're going to make me lose control," he growled. "Do you have any idea how delicious you are? So innocent and nervous about pleasing me."
His fingers touched my chin again, lifting my face so I was captured in his dark gaze.
You do please me, Samantha. Very much.
Something warm buzzed through my veins, something more than physical pleasure. He trailed his fingers over my heated cheek.
You're perfect. So pretty with your body bound and shaking for me. Do you want to come again?
Yes, I gasped out, rolling my hips against the machine.
You can come when you kiss my cock. Show me how much you want to come. Show me how much you want me.
He ground out the words, and a bead of moisture formed at his cockhead. He shifted his hips toward me, and I pressed my lips against him in a soft kiss. The salty flavor of his pre-cum hit my tongue, and I whimpered against him as my need began to crest.
Come, he ordered, pinching my nipples, alternating between them with one hand as he continued to fist his cock in the other.
I shrieked as my second orgasm claimed me, and he rubbed his cockhead around my parted lips, spreading his pre-cum on them. I started to come down, panting against his shaft, but he didn't turn off the machine beneath me.
Please, I begged, my legs beginning to tremble. It's too much.
Count,
he reminded me.
Two,
I whined, trying to push away from the torturous vibrations. His fingers left my nipples to twine in my hair.
You're going to have another one. You're going to cry out in pleasure while your mouth is full of my cock. I want to feel you scream.
A small whimper eased up my throat, but my discomfort eased. My core contracted with fresh need, and the vibrations began to stimulate me again rather than torment.
Taste me, he commanded. You can come as many times as you want.
I flicked out my tongue, barely touching the underside of his purple head. He hissed out a breath through clenched teeth.
More,
he demanded. I obeyed, craving more of his unique flavor. His skin was soft, so different from his thumb. It felt velvety smooth as I glided my tongue down his length, traced the underside, and swirled around his cockhead.
Very good. Just like that.
He was breathing hard, his accent thicker than I'd ever heard it. I pressed my tongue flat beneath his shaft and cried out as another orgasm racked my system. It started deep inside me, building until the pressure was impossible to bear. I started licking him in earnest, tasting every inch of him as I reveled in the decadent feel of his hard cock under my sensitive tongue. He bit out a curse, and I moaned in satisfaction. Knowing I had such an effect on him was heady. This powerful man who craved control was struggling to hold back his lust for me. I wanted him to come undone, to feel the same wild abandon that had completely overtaken me.
How many?
He asked roughly as my orgasm finally started to subside. I hummed against his shaft, and his fingers tightened in my hair.
You know, gatita, don't toy with me. How many?
Three, I sighed, rubbing my cheek against him.
That's it, he encouraged. Worship my cock, just like that.
The vibrations continued to torment me, but I didn't bother begging for him to turn off the machine. I knew he wouldn't, and truthfully, I didn't want him to. I was as greedy as he'd claimed I'd be. I wanted more. More pleasure, more power, more Andres.
Suck me, he ordered on the edge of his control.
I opened my mouth and invited him in, stroking him with my tongue as he slid inside. He stopped me with his fist on my hair when I tried to take him all the way to the back of my throat.
Slowly, Sirenita,
he corrected me. His accent so heavy it took me a moment to discern what he'd said. Using his grip on my hair, he eased my face back so only his cockhead remained inside my mouth. I rolled my tongue around it and stared up at him. His nostrils flared, and his eyes turned flat black. He bared his teeth in an expression that was almost vicious. It made my pussy flutter, and another orgasm shuddered through my body. I screamed around his cock, just as he'd ordered me to do. He thrust forward, hitting the back of my throat. I gagged, and he immediately pulled back so I could gasp in a breath.
"Relax," he growled, but there was no menace in the word, only desire. "I'm going to come down your throat."
I moaned, the only sound I was capable of with him filling my mouth. He pressed farther back, testing me. I breathed through my nose and focused on suppressing my gag reflex.
"Good girl."
His hold eased on my hair, and he massaged my scalp as he pushed into my throat. He threw his head back with a roar and finally released, his cum lashing into me. He pulled back so it coated my tongue, filling my mouth.
"Swallow," he snarled. "Take everything I give you."
As I did so, pleasure claimed me again, the vibrations of the machine beneath me relentless. My entire body twisted against the restraints, mindless with ecstasy. He finally pulled free of my lips, but I continued to lick him, cleaning off the last of his desire. He started murmuring in Spanish, running his fingers through my hair as he praised me. Finally, he turned off the Sibian, and I collapsed in exhaustion as all my muscles melted. He freed my wrists from the cuffs and bent to catch me before I could fall. He went down on one knee and captured my lips with his. Surprise sparked through me that he'd kiss me after coming in my mouth, but he didn't seem to care. If anything, he seemed hungrier for me than ever. When he finally pulled away, he freed my ankles and lifted my sated body up in his arms.
"How many times did you come?"
he murmured as he carried me out of the playroom. Five? Maybe? I was too sleepy to really think about it. I pressed my face against his hard chest, enjoying the way it rumbled as he laughed. If that was what giving a blowjob was like, I wasn't sure why I'd waited so long. Because I needed Andres, I realized, recognizing the truth in what he'd said to me earlier. I'd needed him to push past my fears and my weird tics and show me what my body was capable of. I should be upset at the realization that I needed my scary captor in order to experience intimacy with a man. But he wasn't all that scary, really. His scars might look mean, but he hadn't forced me to suck his cock. He could have beaten me until I broke down and did anything he wanted, but he'd ensured that I'd enjoyed the experience, possibly even more than he did. He'd come once, I'd come how many times? I decided I was too tired to worry about it. Sighing in post-orgasmic contentment, I snuggled against Andres's chest and drifted in warm bliss. Chapter 14. Somehow, everything started feeling routine. Andres fed me, bathed me, teased me, and gave me the most mind-blowing orgasms, with the occasional spanking if I got too sassy. He still kept me chained to his bed while he was gone, but the stacks of comics he brought me every morning helped me pass the time. It had been a week since he'd taken me into his playroom and taught me how to give him a blowjob. I'd had to suck him off several times since, due to my penchant for cursing. But I didn't hate the experience, so it wasn't much of a deterrent, really. For long stretches of time in the evenings, he'd tie me in various positions from the suspension point next to his desk. He claimed that he liked having something pretty to look at while he worked. Pretty. I'd never thought of myself that way. Despite my fucked up situation, Andres made me feel beautiful, desirable, and that made me feel powerful in a way I'd never known before. I'd always been confident in my hacking abilities, in the sharpness of my mind, but physically, I'd always felt out of place, awkward and weird. I didn't have to worry about being awkward with Andres. He simply moved my body where he wished, and with his guidance and instruction, I didn't trip all over myself. I couldn't get stuck in my own head and in my own insecurities when he handled me. His strong arms and dark eyes grounded me, keeping me focused on him rather than getting swept up in my racing thoughts. But I wasn't a fool, and no matter how much Andres tried to condition me to want to be his pet, I wouldn't cave. Maybe I did like the way he touched me, but that didn't mean I wasn't still intent on escaping him. I had a life to get back to, and I refused to spend my days as the plaything for an evil drug lord. Evil. I often had to remind myself of what Andres did for his business. He petted me and doted on me, and it would have been much easier on my psyche if I just allowed myself to fall into a fantasy of being his cosseted, kinky girlfriend. But I couldn't forget that all the expensive, nerdy gifts he brought me had been purchased with drug money, money that came from trafficking bliss and selling innocent women like Lauren. Not to mention that all of it was a manipulation to tame me, to make me docile and obedient, so I'd work for his brother without trying to get a message back to my friends at the bureau the second I had access to a computer. I'd certainly become docile, despite my best efforts. He kept me drunk on pleasure, and if I did start getting too bold, a sound spanking or his cock in my mouth would subdue me. For a few days, I'd internally railed at myself that I should have been stronger than this. But beating myself up about enjoying Andres' kinky games wasn't going to help me escape. I needed my full wits about me, and self-loathing was a distraction I couldn't afford. I could give him my body, as long as I kept my mind. Submitting kept me safe from being punished again. It was the smart thing to do, not weakness. I didn't bother to look up from reading Watchmen when the door opened. Most days, I tried my best not to look at Lauren directly. Her eyes were so disturbing, and the only time anything sparked in them, it was resentment. She clearly would have preferred to be Master Andres's pet to being drugged and whored out to dozens of men. After facing the reality of captivity with Andres, I suspected I'd prefer my situation too. And that realization was so disturbing. I'd rather ignore Lauren than face it head on. I gasped when strong fingers fisted around the collar at my nape, pulling me up off the pillows. Andres, I forced out, struggling to speak with the collar tight around my throat. What are you doing here? Lauren hadn't brought me lunch yet, so it couldn't be past midday. He never returned this early. I looked up at him, alarmed at the almost violent way he was handling me. His dark eyes were fixed on his task, unlocking the chain from my collar. As soon as it fell away, he lifted me up and tossed me over his shoulder, knocking the air from my chest. "Put me down!" I demanded, twisting in his hold as panic spiked. He hadn't spoken to me. He wouldn't look at me. Anger was evident in the stiff way he held me, the too sharp smack of his hand against my upper thigh. Fear fluttered in my chest, my heartbeat picking up speed. This wasn't my indulgent captor who cradled me against his chest and kissed me. This man who held me so dispassionately scared the shit out of me. It reminded me of his cold detachment the night he'd strapped me to the spanking bench and flogged me. "I didn't do anything wrong," I protested, squirming against him as we entered the playroom. No. Torture room. Because we were headed straight for the spanking bench. I beat my fists against his lower back, thrashing like a wild thing. "No, please." He ignored me, handling me roughly as he pinned my body down on the bench and strapped me in place. Tears dropped down my cheeks as the false image of him I'd built in my mind shattered. He wasn't doting. He wasn't nice. He was unstable, insane. And every small kindness he'd shown me had been a lie, a manipulation. "What did I do wrong?" I heaved out on a sob as terror took hold of my mind. He'd been harsh with me, but he'd always been fair in his own way. "I didn't do anything. I didn't. Please." Once I was fully bound beneath him, he paused and finally looked down into my eyes. His face was drawn, his scar puckered and twisted as he clenched his jaw tightly. He stared down at me for several agonizing seconds, then he drew in a deep, shuddering breath. He trailed his fingers over the leather restraints that held my body at his mercy, and his fierce expression